The Maxine Goodman Levin College of Urban Affairs brings together individuals who are changing the face of urban America. Today, we meet Rob Zile, Director of the Center for Public and Nonprofit Management at the Levin College of Urban Affairs.
Welcome. This is episode 2 of the Levin podcast series. I'm Kristen Blazek, Coordinator of Student Recruitment for the College of Urban Affairs. And today I will be interviewing Rob Zile. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. You want to tell me your title?
Yes, I'm the Director of the Center for Public and Nonprofit Management at the Levin College.
That sounds super awesome. And then we're also joined by Molly. Molly, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Molly Schnoek. I am the project coordinator for the Center for Community Planning and Development, also with the Levin College of Urban Affairs.
Awesome. So today, what I really want to talk to Rob about is how our college makes connections into the community and how you're a big part of that. So let me start off with, who are you? Where are you from?
Well,
so ethereal.
Yes. Well, again, I'm Rob. I was born and raised here in Northeast Ohio, born and raised in Parma, Ohio. I currently live down in Medina, but just a Cleveland person, my entire born and raised here in the area.
Where'd you go to high school?
Valley Forge in Parma, and then went to Ohio State for my undergrad and CSU for my graduate degree.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, what exactly did you get your master's in?
I got a master's in public administration with a certificate in nonprofit administration.
All right. So, did you ever imagine that you were going to end up working in higher education?
Never. That was probably the last thing I thought of ever. When I was working, I got my degree in organizational communications, and I was working in business for about 12 years, and I just got burnt out. I really wanted to find something to make an impact in the community, wanted to make a difference. So I started to volunteer at my church, and we had like a fundraising campaign, and our goal was to raise $3,000, and we ended up raising $12,000 in one day. And people came up to me like, this is fantastic, you know, this is great, you should do this for a career. And I never realized there was even such a thing as nonprofit administration or working in the government sector. Never even thought about it or as a career. And then that's the long story short, just kind of led me to explore that. That's how I got to the college and working towards my degree in trying to make a difference in the community. That's what I knew at the time.
So did you get hired right after graduation, or was it during your MPA?
I started off as a just coming one class at night school, one class at a time, and then I realized that I needed to get more experience, and I was working with our internship coordinator at the time, Fran Hunter, and asked her to help me to try to find something, and then this kind of fell on my lap. It was the Center for Leadership Development, and they had a graduate assistant position. I was still working full-time. It was a crazy story because I was still working full-time, and I was told to come into the office for an interview. I thought it was just going to explore the opportunities, and next thing they know, they said, we'll see you on Monday. And I never even like gave my 2-week notice or even told my current employer that I was leaving. So I had to go through that process. But it sort of fell in my lap, and then like it just went from there. So I started off as a graduate assistant there, and then it turned into a full-time position upon graduation.
How long have you been at the college?
Since 2003, so full-time since 2005. So forever.
So it's like 14 years.
Yeah. Yep, almost 15.
If my math serves me correctly.
Something like that, yeah. Don't quote me, but it's been a long time, yeah. And I never thought that I would have been here that long, but what I say is that I feel like the college is like my second home, like literally my second home, and I fell in love with it. Not only the work that we do, but the people that we work with as far as our faculty, staff, and students, and the community. It's just second nature now. I love it.
Awesome. So now in your current position as director, what do you do exactly? Like, what does it mean to be a director of a center? What does your center do?
So our center is sort of multifaceted. We have three different functional areas. We call it student enrichment, professional development, and community outreach. So we manage a portfolio of programming. The professional development is kind of where I started, so our leadership and management programs. But in addition to those standard professional development programs, we also facilitate internships, mentoring. We get into a little bit of research, but we're also doing a lot more of like community-focused projects. We do a lot of like, we have a new series called Levin Serves, where we actually go out and work with our stakeholders to volunteer or do a day of service, and we rotate through around our amongst our stakeholders, and it's a way to kind of give back. You know, the college, we obviously are there to make a difference in the community, a lot of different missions and goals and operations across the system, but I think it's not just a classroom setting, but also a way for us as an institution to kind of be out in the field and make a difference and give back to the community that's served us for so long. So, but I can go on and on and on as far as our programs, but...
So the Live-In Serves, you do those how often?
Every quarterly basis. We've done two or three of them so far. We went to the City Mission, Laura's home. We went out there. They had a graduation ceremony, so they asked us to spruce up the facilities. We kind of cleaned up inside and outside, worked with the director. We had a tour of the facility, which is really nice, and then we were able to meet a few of the residents as well. So it's really neat to be able to kind of go into those operations to actually see and to meet and to kind of hear about what's actually going on. So we did the City Mission. We are also, where was our first one?
We went to the food bank.
The food bank was our very first one. The food bank was great, too.
That was a good one.
Yep, got a tour, and then we actually, like, sorted through bins of food that came in from various agencies or stores, you know, that were dropping off some items, and we were able to go through and sort it out to make sure that it was still, still valid and usable product, I guess, for the community. So we're scheduling something for the fall. We haven't picked out. We have two or three different locations we're looking at right now, but something that we might do some working in the actual campus district area is the next one we're sort of looking at. So we'll see.
So on top of Levin Serves, your center, a major part of your center, I know you guys had like a big thing that happened this year. So I guess I'm really happy about the Levin Serves because I get that question a lot from students is, do you guys ever do any service projects? And I'm happy to say, yeah, we do service projects. We do these. We go out to the community and we give back that way. But part of your center and something that you brought back this year is something that I kind of wanted you to touch on.
Yeah, that's a minor detail.
It's just small.
Yes. So we are officially now for the state of Ohio, the actual Ohio Certified Public Manager Program for the entire state of Ohio. We were part of that university consortium from 2000 to 2008. From 2008 to 2016, it went back to Department of Administrative Services and in Columbus through Ohio State, and then they withdrew from the consortium for a couple of years, and then we had the opportunity to join that program. So we just launched our first cohort a couple of weeks ago, so I'm still in that mindset. And so we have a relatively large cohort. We have 17 participants from the region. We started a couple weeks ago, and now we're looking to launch our second cohort. And I've actually got some appointments set up with some other university partners across the state and also some state agencies as well to help us expand the program. So pretty pumped because, in my opinion, that's going to be a great way for us to continue to develop leadership in the area, but also infuse a lot of our up-and-coming leaders through our students and also collaborating with our faculty as well to kind of make them be part of this program, have them part of the program as well. So
for people who don't know what that is, what that looks like, tell us about where the participants come from, you know, what is their jobs, and who are the kinds of folks that you engage with them in the workshops through the program, and what do they learn?
So the participants are, I would say, at the supervisory, management, and director level positions. We do have folks that are appointed as well. Elected officials like mayors, council folks, trustees. They're from around the region, mostly from the Cuyahoga County, so the 59 communities in the area. Sometimes we'll reach out to the Medina, Lorraine, Lake County as well. But there are folks that are out in the field working on something, managing, directing, whether it's service department, rec department, human resources. The crux of that program is project management. So we really want the participants to have a toolbox or a mm-hmm. toolkit, so each one of the workshops has practical applications to them so that they can take it back immediately the next day to their work site. So whether that's project management, working on a budget, developing and leading a new initiative, or finding efficiency. The thing we always said was that the government, you have to do more with less. And now it's pretty much do more with nothing. So how do you make that happen?
Right.
So that's kind of what that's where the workshops are, like a laboratory, and bringing people together to kind of share best practices, both from the experiential learning side, so the participants share their best practices, as well as the mm-hmm. subject matter experts, the faculty, the facilitators, our project management group, things like that. So I love it because you get to see public administration working, you know, in real time mm-hmm. with those hard decisions that they have to
yeah.
make.
What are the kinds of things they're working on? What do they bring in this lab? Like what projects and initiatives they talk about in their communities?
So one of my favorite ones, the most recent one, was when the RGA partnered up with the City of Cleveland Police and CSU Police on the bus lines that were on Euclid Avenue. A lot of things that they were having issues with was the crime. So they were looking at what type of crimes were occurring, when were they occurring. So they actually brought in a few of our students to do a study and created a map using GIS to kind of map out when these different incidents occurred and what location. And then it was useful information because those various police departments were able to reallocate their resources on those different hot spots per se, as well as doing a campaign, like a public service mm-hmm. announcement of kind of what issues to be concerned with. So that's more on the public safety side of things, but we've worked with HR on promotional aspects, sustainability, but also succession planning tools. Mm-hmm. The baby boomers are retiring. We're in that period of time where they're retiring.
Yeah.
A lot of organizations are now planning for the next generation of folks that come in. So identifying and recruitment of those folks, but also getting prepared to take on additional responsibility. Mm-hmm. So a lot of projects around that. And then, you know, some of the not so pretty stuff, but like working on potholes and
right.
keeping plumbing, all kinds of
all
issues.
The fun things that keep the city going.
Right, that people right. don't even think of, but it has to get done. So working on those type of mm-hmm. things. But
do you know, I've heard the title for everyone who, all the baby boomers that are retiring, I heard what that's being called.
The Silver Tsunami?
Yes.
The Silver Tsunami. And it's like, I didn't make that title, but that's yeah. that's something that we're working on is there's so many people that are going to be retiring that we need people to
right.
go into those positions.
And public service.
And
yes.
public service. That's
yep.
right.
That's a big issue.
So you have the Public City Managers Association, or sorry, Academy. Academy.
Yep.
I'm going to say that again.
Public Management Academy.
Public Management Academy. So you have the Public Management Academy. Is that the only professional development that you do? Because I kind of feel like you do a lot more.
Yes, that's great. Yeah. So we have a, thank you very much. We have a few more things, yes. So the Public Management Academy is one of the mm-hmm. tracks. Our flagship program is, and it's been around for 28 years now, is our Leadership Academy. That program was actually started by Dr. Vera Vogel St. Coombs and other folks from the City of Cleveland, the leadership at the City of Cleveland, and also with a generous grant and some donation from the Cleveland Foundation actually helped to get the program up and running. So their investment 28 years later is still going strong. So we run our Leadership Academy, our Public Management Academy, We have a neighborhood level program called the Neighborhood Leadership Cleveland. So we work with a lot of grassroots leadership, community organizers, neighbors, church groups, community development corporations, folks like that. And then our last big typical program that we run on a regular basis is called the Lean Ohio Bootcamp Program. And that is where we apply the Lean and Six Sigma principles from industry to kind of take out waste and eliminate redundancy or extra steps to make government as efficient as we possibly can. So, and then we always have customized programs that come up, strategic planning, working on project management, things like that that pop up mm-hmm. for customized work for different organizations.
Okay, so let me just get this straight. So far, we have you doing Levin Serves, all these academies. Is there anything else that you possibly can squeeze in if you can hear that I'm leading him into all the things that he does?
Right.
So besides those, do you do anything else?
So we do also, we have our mentoring program. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that takes a little bit of time up, but we do that. And so we work with our undergrads, juniors, seniors, and also grad students occasionally. Most of it's at the undergrad level. But our center helps to facilitate those opportunities for our students to identify internships throughout the community. So we have like a triage process. We interview them. We work with the students to help work their resumes, cover letters. They do a lot of stuff at the Office of Career Services, but once they get their basic toolkit put together, they come with us, and then we meet with them and have an interview and discussion about where would you like to work, what kind of organizations, what would you like to do with your career. And those are really, I think they're fun interviews to have, because if I got paid a dollar, maybe five now with inflation, but every time people say that they want to make a difference, if I got $5, mm-hmm. I probably could retire now. And that's the great thing about our mm-hmm. college. Everybody that comes in there wants to make a difference. But the answer is how. You know, the question is how do they make a difference? And so we get them a chance to explore the community mm-hmm. and the multitude of different activities that are out there and organizations. And so they typically leave that interview with like three or five different opportunities in hand that they can explore and apply to, and then kind of come back to us and say, I want to work on this. So they, our job is to kind of be that connector role in that capacity. And we also work directly with organizations to help them identify students or put together job descriptions. So it's kind of both on the student side and also on the agency side as well. If you've been here as long as I have been, talking to everybody and their brother, right. You get to know a few people in the community, so they kind of just come organically into mm-hmm. us, into our center, as far as like, hey, I want a good student. And the nice part about it is our quality of students is so high now that, and the reputation is great, that the internship postings just kind of keep rolling in, you know, on a semester basis.
Right. So, what do our students get to do? So, right, you're training all these leaders, and you're connecting
right.
all of our
we're
students.
We're doing, yeah, all this stuff.
All this stuff. What do they get to do in these?
So, what do our students do? Yeah. So, we ask them. So, we really, we're focusing on them not going and doing coffee runs, not, like, mm-hmm. taking out the trash or doing, like, making copies or stuff like that. We work with the organizations to give them a real-life project or program to be embedded in. So we have a paperwork process that will lay out like a scope and action plan for them for each semester. So some folks have worked on putting together like a strategic plan. Others have worked on budgets. Others have worked to actually do like campaigns, social media, mm-hmm. outreach. Depends, each organization has a different request, but with us working with the public sector and the nonprofits and CDCs, there's a number of different things that come in. So, but we focus on them having an actual deliverable by the end of that semester. So whether it's some type of a project or a report or some kind of feedback to us, they work on something like that, so they have something to show their work. And mostly for two reasons, most of them take it for credit, so they have to have something to show their instructor of record that they, you know, showed up and did something and participated and were productive. But also, more importantly for me, it helps to build their portfolio. Mm-hmm. So when they go for a job interview, they can say, like, I helped you know, our application for our Baldrige Award or for some, you know, $500,000 grant to continue to sustain this program. So there's a lot of different value added to those organizations that our students bring, and then our students can then in turn use that, you know, for real life application for when they go mm-hmm. for a real full-time interview down the road. Right. Sometimes those internships turn into jobs, you know, so they get recruited to stay on board. So it's a great way to kind of get your foot in the door as well.
Well, so all the stuff that comes into your office, right? So the requests for internships and the projects through the leadership programs, you really get to see what's happening in the community, right? What communities are asking for, what their needs are, what the kind of things they're working on. What are you seeing out there? You know, what's happening in our sort of urban environment and with our communities, right? What do they need?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of, there's this baby boomer crisis, so there's a shift as far as like the management overall, who's running these organizations. When I was coming up or going through the process, there seemed like a backlog or there's a log jam. There wasn't a lot of movement, and now I see a lot of folks that have been in their jobs for 30, 40 years that were entrenched for a long time. Those folks are now retiring. And so there's this, there's definitely this succession planning, you know, mm-hmm. the building the bench, I guess a lot of folks say is building, bringing people up. But also on the negative side, you know, there's a lot of constraint as far as the lack of funding or new money coming in to support right. projects. So I see a lot of more of like consolidation. I see a lot of folks taking on two or three jobs or a lot more projects than they had before. And, you know, and so the workload is pretty substantial. The stress is high. So there's a lot of folks that are, you know, trying to keep things running, but they have limited resources or right. no resources. But I also see like folks that want to get the next generation involved to kind of bring in new, fresh ideas. When I first started doing this, there was just the start of the websites and the internet, you know,
right.
was just coming up. So it was around.
The world now. Yeah.
Technology was just starting.
There was. Exactly.
That internet thing.
Exactly. So, and a lot of the governments weren't necessarily gravitating towards that. Now it's kind of like, not only do we know that they have a website, but social media, but how can they use these platforms? That's one of the great ways that they can reach out to their particular stakeholders. So therefore, it requires a different skill set coming on board. And so I think that's the neat opportunity for the next generation and our younger folks to kind of learn from those veterans that have been there, but also to embrace that the new technology and the new folks and some new ideas to continue to deliver these services and programs that we need, that we're required to do.
Right. So now that you do a lot with working with students on getting them these connections, because I can say that, you know, being around you and going to different meetings around the city with Rob, he has a lot of connections. But that being said, where do you see bachelor's degrees moving into, or how do you see us maybe moving into an idea of how a bachelor's degree should be set up in like different programming or anything like that?
So we've bounced around this idea for a long time. I like to keep things simple. I like to use that KISS theory quite a bit. I don't know. And so I was thinking about it one day, and it was, what came to me was, I call it the three C's. And for me, the three C's are your coursework, competencies, and connections. And I feel like education kind of fits in those three buckets, or that the lifespan of a degree-seeking person kind of fills into those three buckets, at least my experience was. So the first track, you know, the coursework, that's basically whatever your degree of your choice. So whether that's to get a master's degree in public administration, nonprofit, working in to be a planner, or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the individual person going, the student working with our advisory group and kind of mapping out what those courses are. And at the end, you know, when you, like, the length of time and the duration of how long it'll take you for the degree and what you learn. But that's one part of the puzzle. I also, I realized from working in the private sector and coming into the public sector that there's a lot more that I needed to know and to learn. And so the the competencies are like, what are those practical skill sets, the application? What are those things that you're going to be able to help you get a job mm-hmm. and make a difference in with that particular agency? So that can be working on a strategic plan. That can be GIS, mm-hmm. you know, benchmarking, right. or being an analyst, you know, working on a budget, things like that. So, but there's specific practical right. things that you need. And a lot of times those come through the internships. You know, and then the last C I call connections, and that's basically promoting our mentoring program. But you have to have relationships. I mean, Cleveland is a big, small town, so it is kind of it is true about those. It's all you know, and or it's a big part of it anyway. So the more folks you can meet in the community, not just to know them and say hello, but to get to know how they operate individually, how they develop their career, you know, what kind of decisions they made, organizations that they participate in, what type of activities that they work through, help to frame your next move as far as like how do you continue your learning and advance your career after you leave.
But it seems like you're doing so. It seems like you're applying that though across all the programs you do, not just with the students and internships, right? So even for all of that professional development and training and certificates, right? You're right. still providing that course level engagement for public sector employees. The idea of competency, right? And the idea of connections, and you're connecting them to the other communities mm-hmm. across Northeast Ohio. And so it seems like on both ends, right? The people we're graduating have that. The communities that we serve and that we engage with across the board are getting that same sort of experience through our college and our educational offering.
With the mentoring program, so you've had 1,500 mm-hmm. interactions over the past couple of years. Who would you say are some of these names that are on there, some of the job titles that are on there that are, I'm going to say the question again. So with 1,500 interactions going on this year, what are some of the job titles that the mentors have?
I would say Senior Director of Immigration and Visa Security for the National Security Council, that's one. The Regional Chief of the EPA in Northeast Ohio is another one. We've had the Director of Department of Transportation. We've had the Public Safety Director for the City of Cleveland. We have a lot of mayors, a few council members, state reps, state senators, and a lot of the top, I would say, appointed officials in local and county government. Definitely, you know, for sure. Like I said, our last class, we had 50 students. So we're running out of mentors, but we're still able to get the top of the top.
Right. Cream
of
the crop. You've got these top people, right? And they want to mentor somebody. Why, right? What do they see in the value? And I'm not saying, right, that there's not. There clearly mm-hmm. is something they want to be involved in, and they want to give back, and they want mm-hmm. to contribute to, right? So what do they tell you about their mentorship experience?
Well, a lot of them were mentored when they were younger. They had someone that kind of looked out for them, took them under their wing. So they want to pay back that part of it. They want to pay it forward. But a lot of them will say that they learned a lot throughout the year as well. As far as what the next generation is thinking, this concept of bringing in fresh blood, how do the younger generation, how do they see things? And then the way to innovate, you know, that they can see the next generation. Sometimes when you're up in the ivory tower or you're the top person in your organization, you don't get a lot of the real information of what's going on, or it's filtered. And by working with these students, they can go back into those days when they were climbing the ladder, but also just to see exactly what's going on in the real world. And they, when we have our mentoring celebration dinner, the mentors are just as excited to be part of it as the students were. In fact, not more, because the mentors volunteer their time. You know, the students right. are doing this for free as well, but the mentors come back every year, and they're all busy, trying to get into their schedule. They've got a lot of meetings and yeah. activities going on. But they make the time every month to visit with their students and to come in and participate in our activities. So I'm in awe that they make that commitment.
Right. So you, from the constellation of programs and services and all the stuff that your center does, right, it's real clear that these personal connections, connections to people who are doing the work on the ground really matter. So who was your mentor?
Well, I have two. My official mentor that was assigned through the program was Bill Denahan, who, if anybody knows Bill Denahan, he was everything. He was, I call him E.F. Hutton.
You say that lovingly.
That is because he had
everything.
Yes, he just was like the man, I guess, basically what I say. And then also Senator Grace Drake has turned into a mentor for me, and I still work with her and talk to her on a weekly basis about our programs and giving me advice and helping me through different both personal and professional situations. So I was blessed to have both Bill and Grace. So
speaking of personal situations, are you ready for your personal questions?
Yeah.
Not really.
We told you it was going to get personal.
Here it is. What is your hobby? Or do you have multiple hobbies, and what are they?
Yes.
Most of my hobbies are my family. I mean, when I had hobbies, most of my hobbies is driving my kids back and forth to soccer or other school events. But I like to golf, and I also like to play cards or like poker. And I have some time is to play fantasy football. Actually, we have a live-in league with some of the.
I didn't know we had a fantasy.
Well, it's more of like. It's insider.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Did you just out like yourself?
You just outed your whole secret society.
Yes, it is a secret society. Yes. So yeah, fantasy football.
All right. So this is the fun question. I love asking like the icebreaker questions or get to know you questions. Last time we asked Sadine who he would bring to dinner from history, if he could bring anyone.
And we do this at the end, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not an icebreaker.
Right. We do it at the end.
So this is just a let's get to know you on a different level. If you had to wear the same t-shirt for an entire year, so every day wearing the same t-shirt with only one word on it, what would be that word and why?
My word would be run, R-U-N.
Well, is it away from you?
Yes, because
well, it has so many meanings.
Yes,
right? so many meanings.
That's exactly why. Well, not only the obvious part of being a little stinky, but on top of that, though, for me, the word run is really hits home because the word run is something that I actually had to write the definition of it when I was a little kid, because I know it's hard to believe, but I was very introverted, and when I got called on in class, I would start to cry, and the teacher used to make me
write. I don't know why we're laughing.
Yes, sorry.
I'm laughing because it's
You're
hard
laughing.
To believe
You're
right,
laughing
that
with
you were introverted.
It's difficult.
It is. So I used to write the word run, the definition, which is 174 different variations of that. Look it up. You'll see. But also because the word run is an active word. Like it's not something that you just take for granted. You physically have to do something, and I've run 2 marathons and 5 half marathons. But the transliteration for the word run in the Bible actually refers to the phrase to overcome. And I personally had overcome a few challenges, some health issues, and other physical ailments over time. But I think that a lot of things that we do at the college is helping other folks to overcome things as well. I think that's what our college is really about. And whether that's in the public sector or nonprofit CDCs, folks are trying to overcome, whether it's something simple as a budget issue, or they're trying to, you know, get folks out of poverty or literacy. There's some serious things that we're doing there. So, I would say my word is run.
All right. Molly, do you know your word?
I don't know my word, but I would say that is a perfect way to end this podcast and share with folks about what the college does, and we make things run.
Yeah, we do. And you're out there in the community doing all of this. So I want to thank you, Rob, so much for coming out of your busy schedule, because as we listed before, you've got some things going on. So thank you so much for coming. If you guys like this podcast and you would like more, please subscribe to the Levin College YouTube page. And also share this so that other people can see exactly what we're doing out in the community, making connections for our students. And then also on our website, check out all the events that are coming up, because we have some events coming up. I know the forum takes a break for the summer, but there are still events that happen throughout our year. So definitely get on the forum sign-up page so that we can send you emails with what's going on in the college. So thank you, Rob.
Thank you.